The question for the world right now is, why is this chaos even happening?
Stay 5 days in the street, no foods, no anything. Now I'm coming here, I will go outside the Greek.
The voice of a refugee from Syria stranded in Greece right now with no hope. The brutal Syrian civil war may not have an easy solution, but part of the outrage over the refugee crisis in Europe right now is that there should not be a crisis. The procedures and laws for handling exactly this kind of crisis already exists. The United Nations first ratified the Convention on Refugees back in 1951 with the rules for how to handle moving populations. It was in the wake of World War II. James Hathaway is a professor of law and director of the Refugee and Asylum Law Program at the University of Michigan. He says the UN Refugee Convention could be helping right now. And for European nations to be ignoring it, Hathaway says, amounts to denying a century of their own history.
We really didn't have any need for asylum until about 100 years ago, because it was only roughly 100 years ago that states of the Western European sphere began to erect border controls. And so you didn't need a trump card on border controls when there were few, if any, border controls. By the early 20th century, we did have this theory, at least, that only those that we chose were entitled to cross a border. This is all tied up with the idea of the nation state, that our security was better ensured by having the people living here being of a common ethnic stock. Along came the Bolshevik Revolution, a slightly inconvenient phenomenon for those who thought border control ought to be sacrosanct. We had 1.5 million people fleeing what became the Soviet Union scattered around Europe. Ironically, there is an historical echo to what we're seeing right now. The Soviet Union denationalized them all, stripped them of their citizenship. They were left stranded around Europe, couldn't work, couldn't educate their kids, and became a social problem. And so the world community came together and said, when people actually need to flee, when they have to vote with their feet, they will do that. It is in our interest to regularize their status, to give them a chance to become self-sufficient, indeed to contribute to us. Because to do that is not only a dignified response, but it's actually a very intelligent response. And indeed, history has proved that right. Refugees have been among the greatest contributors to the societies to which they've traveled. What we're missing now is a way routinely to operationalize that commitment again.
How is this crisis in Europe right now with the migrants from the Middle East testing international law on this subject?
Well, it's testing it in a number of ways. I think most fundamentally, the idea of international refugee law is that when a person either claims to be a refugee or is part of a group that you can readily see are made up of refugees, and clearly the Syrians and the Afghans that make up most of the current movement fit that bill, it's absolutely impermissible to do anything to push them back away from your borders, which, for example, is exactly what Hungary is doing right now. This is something that should have been condemned loudly and forcefully by the UNHCR, the UN Refugee Agency. It hasn't been condemned as forcefully as it should have been. And indeed, ironically, it's been up to the German chancellor and the president of the European Commission to say just how wrongful this behavior is and to try to organize a fix, at least, you know, to deal with those who are arriving now and hopefully for the future.
Putting aside the details of the crisis for a moment, is this whole situation with disputes between Hungary and the rest of the European Union another example of how weak the European Union is being revealed to be?
I don't think it's so much about weakness as it is, at least in the asylum context, about Europe having made a very fundamental mistake some years ago. They originated a rule that is termed the Dublin Regulation Rule, which says that any refugee arriving in Europe must stay literally in the first country in which he or she sets foot. And what that has done is to put enormous strains on countries like Greece and Hungary and others that are on the front lines. And it's effectively insulated the rich countries like, you know, Germany and others from the overwhelming share of the refugee responsibility. What we're seeing now for the first time is the president of the European Commission actually saying that rule does not work. It makes no sense. That accidents of geography shouldn't determine how the responsibility to protect people is shared out. And I think this is a wonderful moment. In truth, it's a moment that I'm hoping will promote us to rethink the way we do refugee law on the global level, where, you know, we have 85% of the world's refugees in the world's poorest countries getting essentially nothing but the occasional bits of charity from the rest of us. This is not the way the system was ever meant to work, and it's high time that we set about getting a fix to the system.
How was it meant to work? What are the traditions that form the basis of how we think about asylum law?
Well, it's a great question, John, because the convention simply says, here's the definition of who is a refugee, and here are the rights that refugees get, rights to work, education, mobility, etc. The drafters took 3.5 years to come up with this treaty, and it obviously was a hard slog. And in the end, they inserted into the preamble of the treaty, so it's not formally binding, but it expresses their intentions that this system should be operationalized in a way that equalized the burdens and responsibilities of states. Occasionally, we've done that. You may recall, for example, back in the 1970s when the Indochinese boat people crisis occurred and people were leaving Vietnam and ending up in places like Malaysia and Hong Kong and elsewhere. The rest of the world did come together and share out the responsibility to protect those refugees, and they moved around the world in ways that equalized the burdens of reception states. We did the same thing in Central America under a program called SEREFCA and in Africa under a program called ICARA. So what I've proposed is that we learn the lessons of those actually really positive experiences where rather than waiting to see where people end up and trying ex post facto to try to fix things, which is what Europe is trying to do now. I mean, it's a little bit like, you know, shopping for insurance when the house is already on fire. It's not a good way to work. What we need is to operationalize the preamble to the treaty with quotas for both sharing human responsibility and financial burdens that a UN agency can call on when a crisis occurs in an orderly, cost-effective way. There's no need to do what we're doing now, and I think there's every reason to rethink our approach given the horrors of what we've seen over the last few weeks in Europe.
James Hathaway is a professor of law and director of the Refugee and Asylum Law Program at the University of Michigan. Thanks so much.
It's been my pleasure.